Good. You ready to go to school? Now we're ready. Okay. Good. Good, good, good. So, we are, last week, having troubles with the doodad. Just exit and play the thing again, see if that fixes it. There we go. Thank you. Good. So last week we talked about hearing God. How many were here last week? Most of you. Good. Good, good. We talked about hearing God, and we talked about a number of ways that we hear God. We kind of did an overview of what it means to hear God and some of the ways that we find people hearing God in Scripture and so on. Doesn't like me today. Oh, there we go. So, how God speaks. And here are some of the things that we came up with last week. That God speaks through Scripture. And there are times in Scripture, and maybe some of us could share experiences where God speaks through an actual audible voice, something that you hear outside of yourself. Epiphanies. So that's an appearance of Jesus, an appearance of God, or an appearance like a burning bush, or appearance just a manifestation of God in some way. Sometimes in Scripture where it says, the angel of the Lord appeared, right? And then two verses later it'll say, and the Lord said. Right, so now you know you've got someone who's called an angel of the Lord, but is also called the Lord. So we believe that that is Christ before he was Jesus. Right, that is an appearance of Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, in time and space before he was Jesus of Nazareth. And making an appearance. And so, epiphanies, visions. So, when we talk about visions, it can be, people talk about open and closed visions. Have you heard those phrases? So, an open vision being something that you actually see in front of you. It's like it's playing on a TV screen right in front of you. Or a closed vision being something that you have a picture of something in your mind, of a picture or a scenario playing out in your mind. Dreams, prophecies, circumstances, right? So a wet fleece or a dry fleece. Those are circumstances. God used circumstances to speak to Gideon and give him direction. An animal even spoke through a donkey, right? As far as I know, there's only one incident in Scripture that I can think of where God spoke through an animal, but bless you. But I don't know. Maybe he could speak through a parrot or something, right? Angels, Angel Gabriel showing up and so on. Signs, like a handwritten on the wall, you know, writing on the wall, or just things happening that are unnatural or unusual. Other people, and kind of a blanket phrase, voice of the Spirit. We're going to talk a little bit more about that tonight. We're going to kind of zero in on this idea of the voice of the Spirit speaking to us. So, as you can imagine, we could take a week on every one of these at least. We're not probably going to do that, but we want to take another week to dig into this idea of God speaking to us by His Spirit. And I know that if we took the time to put a mic in front of each one of us, many of us in the room could share stories of times when God spoke to us in unique ways, and He does that. Some of tonight we're going to be tempted to move into the gift of prophecy. That's not where we're going tonight, I'm going to try and resist the temptation, although some of the verses we're going to look at touch on that a little bit, because we're going to dig into that more deeply later, the gift of prophecy. But tonight we're just talking about God speaking by the voice of His Spirit in our lives. Okay. Any questions from last week's experience or whatever before we move on into tonight's material? So last week we did an overview in our teaching time. We did an overview, but then in our activation time, in our practice time, we took some time to really zero in on the first one in this list, God speaking through Scripture. And so we put Psalm 91 up on the screen, and I read it through twice, the whole chapter of Psalm 91, and then gave us some time, about 10 minutes to just be still and quiet and kind of let this Scripture steep in our hearts a little bit and see what God might say to us by His Word, through the Word. And of course, God speaking through Scripture is one of the big ways that He talks to us. There are many ways that He speaks to us through Scripture. But sometimes it's about digging in and studying the Scripture and drawing out the meat of what it says and understanding maybe the historical context of it and all that stuff. I mean, that's all helpful. But there are also moments where the Holy Spirit will just highlight a phrase or a word from the Scripture to us and just bring it to life. And the goal is, I mean, the Scriptures speak about God always. They just speak about God because that's their purpose. But our goal is to hear, God, what do you want to say to me today? What's your fresh word for me today through the Scripture? There are some teachers who kind of divide out the Logos and the Rhema. There's not really a lot of good support for those being different words, but it's a good way to think about it, talk about it. They talk about the Logos being just the written word and how when we study the word, we can understand more about who God is. But Rhema being when the word comes alive and it's a living word for us today. So it's just good to understand that the Holy Spirit wants us to have fresh manna today, doesn't He? Wants us to have a fresh word from Him today. And every time we go to the Word, we might have read that verse 37 times in the last 2 years, and yet God highlights something fresh to us in it and speaks something fresh. And that's good. So here's a passage from Acts 13 that I want us to take a look at for a few minutes. Acts 13, verses 1 to 3. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Now, let's pause there for just a moment. I've heard a lot of people, saying there are not prophets in the New Testament. That the prophets were for the Old Testament, and there's not prophets in the New Testament, and yet we find prophets in the New Testament. We find right here there were a group of prophets that had gathered together. We find a guy named Agabus is talked about twice in the book of Acts, in two different places, at the early in the book of Acts and towards the end of the book of Acts, as a prophet. Philip's daughters were prophets. So there are a number of people in the book of Acts that are spoken of as prophets. And so we won't talk a lot about that right now because we're gonna get to the gift of prophecy. But it's important to remember that God still speaks through people prophetically today. And that's an important part of what we are as the church. So now, in the church at Antioch, what do we know about the church in Antioch? Anybody remember from reading in the book of Acts some of the stuff about the church of Antioch? What do we know about? First place they were called Christians. So there was some kind of significant movement that marked the early Christians. There was something significant going on there. Yeah. Anything else that you can remember about the church in Antioch? Well, it was a place where there were some of the earliest Gentiles that became followers of Jesus. And there was a revival going on and this was very early after Saul had become a convert to Christianity. He'd been persecuting the Christians, and then he became a follower of Jesus because Jesus knocked him off his high horse and got his attention, and Saul became a follower of Jesus. And then Barnabas, there was such a significant move of God happening there that Barnabas goes to Tarsus, where Saul was living, and gets him and brings him back to Antioch because he needs more workers, because there's such a significant move of God happening in Antioch. And in fact, Antioch became one of the most important centers of early Christianity. Jerusalem, Alexandria, Antioch, Carthage, four of the most important early centers of Christianity in the first 300 years. So what's happening in Antioch is not only really important right now, but it's going to become more and more significant as time goes on. It's really, really big. And as we'll see here, Antioch becomes a sending place. They become a mission center that sends out people all over the world. So, now in the church in Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, which it's a borrowed word from Latin that means black. So we don't know if this has to do with his race or if this is just a nickname or whatever, but Simon called Niger. Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. So he'd grown up as a playmate of this important person, Herod, and then had come to Christ, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So here we have an instance of hearing the voice of the Spirit, not from the Scriptures. Right? So last week we zeroed in on hearing God through the Scriptures. But here they hear something from God, they hear something from the Spirit, but it's not something that God says to them through the Scriptures. There's nothing, there's no Scripture quoted, there's no... And the only Scriptures they had at the time were the Old Testament, right? The New Testament hadn't been written yet. So the Spirit speaks to them, and what he says is very specific. Out of the whole group of people in the prayer meeting, he calls out two specific people. He says, "I want these two people to be set apart, and I want you to send them out to do the work that I have called them to do." That's pretty specific, right? And so when they hear this, we're going to talk about how they heard it, but when they hear this, they don't just say, "Well, that was a nice message from the Holy Spirit. Let's just dwell on that for a while." They obeyed. It's good, Janine. When God speaks to us, it's not just for our entertainment. When he speaks to us, it's not just so that we can feel good about ourselves that we heard him, or just feel good about ourselves that we must be spiritual people because God spoke to me, right? But when he speaks to us, it's because he wants us to do something. So when we hear, it means, okay, now that I've heard from God, I have an action point. I have something I have to respond to, something I have to do. It's one of the things we didn't talk about last week when we talked about hearing from Psalm 91 and what is God speaking to us. We didn't have, you know, we didn't necessarily take the time and say, okay, now you heard that. What is the action point for you? What are you going to do now that God has spoken to you, right? But that's an important step that we need to make sure we take. When God speaks to us, okay, what's my action point? Does that make sense? Good. I think they're listening, Edna. I don't know. Yep. Okay, so for our live streamers, the question is, when it says, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them, did they know before that moment that they had been called to that work and were just being reminded, or is this when they got the call? My sense from reading this is that they had a sense of something that they were called to, but no specifics, but no clarity of what that was. So if you cheat and look back at the end of chapter 12, you'll find that Saul and Barnabas have just been to Jerusalem to deal with some stuff. And they just got back to Antioch from Jerusalem. They just made a trip to Jerusalem, and they just came back to Antioch. And so there is a sense that these guys are partners in ministry for a reason, that there's something that they're to do. But I think it's there in that meeting that they get clarity on what it is they're supposed to do. Because the next thing they do is lay hands on them and send them out. Right? So, okay, now we know what we're supposed to do. Let's go. So great question, though, Ford. Thank you. Any other questions before we go any further? Yeah, sure. For the whole group, you mean? Or? Yeah. It's easier to send someone else than to go yourself. Yeah, sure it is. Sure it is. And that's kind of, because actually the verse before this not only says they just returned from Jerusalem, but it says they brought John, also called Mark, back with them from Jerusalem. So he's in this prayer meeting. He ends up going with them. And we know how that ends, is that after the first major encounter with, you know, spiritual enemies, with the demonic, he gets freaked out and says, I'm out of here, and leaves and bails on the team, right? So yeah, it's when God calls you to something and you're going and you're sent into battle, right? It's much easier to send than to go. But we're all sent. We all go in whatever mission we're given, right? Yeah. Good. Okay. So the Holy Spirit spoke very specifically, gave them very specific information about who, what, and where. And so what do you think that looked like? Again, he didn't speak to them through Scripture. So we're not told exactly how he spoke to them. But let's imagine we're in that prayer meeting. Let's imagine we're fasting and praying with this group of prophets and teachers. And the Holy Spirit has just spoken a very clear and important word to that group. What do you think that may have looked like? What are some of the ways that the Holy Spirit might have communicated something that specific to this group of people? Rhonda? Okay. So could it have been tongues and interpretation? Could have been, sure. A word of knowledge. Okay, so we know there are some prophets there and they hear from God, so maybe he spoke through these prophets in a however prophets hear, yeah, sure. Sure.
And
yeah, it's guesswork.
Perhaps Barnabas and Saul already were receiving impressions from the Holy Spirit, but they were waiting upon God for verification.
Yeah, so maybe Barnabas and Saul were already sensing something. Okay, interesting. Okay, so Jeanette said maybe a word of knowledge and maybe to more than one person. Because it says, That they're, I mean, they're all there, they're all worshiping, they're all listening, and the Spirit said, and it seems to be a corporate thing. It doesn't say the Spirit said to Manaen or the Spirit said to Lucius or whatever. It just said the Spirit said. So there was maybe multiple ways that they heard or multiple persons that heard. Did I see somebody over here?
Mm-hmm. For the work to which I have called them.
Yeah.
So, like, just to me personally, I feel that they were already, like I said earlier,
yeah,
getting that calling. But
sure.
They were waiting upon the Lord for confirmation.
Yeah. So often that's what happens, right? Is, I mean, if so here's the classic situation. Bible college male student, third year student, walks up to Bible college first year student and says, God told me that you're supposed to marry me, right? And so if the girl is smart, she'll say, well, he didn't tell me that, take a hike, right? Because generally, if God is going to speak to someone through someone to someone else, it's going to be a confirmation more than it's going to be brand new. Oh, I never thought of that before, right? And so, of course, a lot of spiritual manipulation can happen in the name of hearing from God, right? We need to be careful with that. But yeah. Called is past tense, yes.
So therefore,
so Peggy's saying it because it says the work to which I have called them, it's in the past tense, and so they have maybe already received the call. They've already been spoken. God's already spoken to them, and this is a confirmation. Possibly, but yes, Rhonda? Yeah. Like Jeremiah said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and I called you, right? So yeah, it's hard to know, but okay, so far we've got, maybe it was a word of knowledge, maybe it was a tongues and interpretation or a prophecy. Any other ideas? Okay, context is a worshiping people.
In the context of worship, that's,
mm-hmm.
Personally, that's when I hear the Lord the best.
Okay.
More clearly.
Yeah.
And since it's prophetic, it's a now word. It's the word for now.
Yeah.
It's the spoken word.
Yeah, yeah.
So it may have, God may have called them, but this is right now.
This is right now, yeah. Sure. Sure. So they may have had a sense of calling, but this, you can see by the urgency in which they respond that they know, okay, now's the moment. Let's do this and let's go. Yeah. And you're right, Barb. Worship is a powerful way to open our spirit to Holy Spirit so that we can hear better, right? I find it interesting in Elisha, I don't remember the exact reference place, but Elisha is asked to get a word from God, and he says, call the minstrel so I can prophesy, right? He needs a worship leader to come and establish a worship atmosphere in order to prepare to hear from the Lord, right? And that's not just That's not just about, you know, some kind of emotional manipulative atmosphere. There is something that gets established when we begin to worship the Lord. And music is even a big part of that, right? Yeah. Good. Question, yes? Saul and Barnabas? Well, we know after that that John also called Mark goes with them. I don't know if anyone else went with them at this point, but we know that as they're on their, so on Saul's, this is his first journey, and then there was a second journey, and then there was a third journey. And some say a fourth journey to Spain, although it's not in the book of Acts. But we know that Paul collects people as he goes. Right? He in chapter 16 at the beginning of the chapter he picks up Timothy, and then halfway through Acts chapter 16. Luke, who's writing the story, goes from saying they did this and they did that and they did this to we did this and we did that and we did this. So Luke joins the team partway through Acts 16, right? So Paul, as he goes, he's a builder of people. He's a developer of people. And so he doesn't just want to get the work done. He wants to develop other people in the ministry as they get the work done. Right, that's the heart of an apostle, is I want to raise up other workers and other leaders as we do the work that God's called us to do. So yeah, good. So I think there are the ways that we've talked about. I think there are other many ways. Any of the ways that we saw in the previous. Previous slide. Certainly, God, the Holy Spirit, could have spoken to them in an audible voice and said,
"Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've called them."
Right? He could have. There could have been, an angel could have showed up, although probably that would have gotten more press if an angel had showed up. And we would have heard about that. It's very possible somebody got a vision, you know, maybe a picture of a city like, I don't know, like, trying to pull a city out of my head, Smyrna. Let's say Smyrna. They got a picture of Smyrna. And they're like, "Oh, you guys are supposed to go to Smyrna. You know, I was there 2 years ago for the summer, and it's beautiful there, but God gave me a picture of Smyrna, and you're supposed to go to Smyrna." So, or a picture of a boat, or a picture of whatever, right? So somebody could have seen a vision, gotten a picture of something in their mind. They could have gotten one word. It was a word that confirmed, you know? So maybe one person got a word of knowledge, as we've said. You know, somebody got a word of knowledge. I'm sensing something about Saul and Barnabas. They're supposed to do something. And then another person said, "Oh, I got a picture of Smyrna." And another person said, "Oh, I hear the words, preach the good news," you know, or whatever. So this person got this, and this person got this, and this person got this. And they put it all together. And by the time they're done, they've got a strong word from the Holy Spirit that you know, this matches and this matches, and it all confirms. And then it's like, okay, I think there's no question God has spoken to us here. Now, what are we going to do about it? Yeah, Rhonda. In our English translation, it's in quotes, yes? It's in Greek, yeah. I don't have that in front of me, I don't know, but yeah, good thought though, I'm not sure. I don't know. And I think that's, so for our live streamers, sorry to repeat that, as we read it, it's in quotes, the Spirit said, quote, set apart Barnabas and Saul, blah, blah, blah. So because it's in quotes, was it very specifically, audibly almost given to them word for word? And it's very possible. It's a good thought. I guess my thought in response to that would be, you know, I've often said, and people, many maybe of you have often said, "Well, the Spirit told me to do this," or I really felt like God told me I had to put an extra $50 in the offering this week, right? He told me to do this, right? And so, you know, if it's not audible, is it any less authoritative in our lives, right? Yeah. But I don't know. Maybe it could have been audible. It might be a hint for us. So yeah. We've got a couple other things I want us to look at before we move to our activation time. But when we move to our activation, we're going to do something somewhat similar to what we did last week, where we took some time to just listen to Holy Spirit and see what He will say to us. But we're not going to use Scripture. We're going to just listen, just wait in His presence, and maybe He'll give a picture, maybe He'll give an open vision, maybe you'll hear something as an impression in your heart. We're just going to listen. I believe Holy Spirit wants to speak to us. It's not any less legitimate or any less authentic for us to take a moment and say, we are going to listen to Holy Spirit right now. In fact, I believe that He's trying to speak to us far more often than we're trying to listen. And that it's like the, you know, the cell phone waves, we used to say radio waves, but back in the old days. But the cell phone waves that are flying through this room right now. And unless you've got a cell phone, you can't pick them up, right? Unless you're tuned in, connected to that way, that frequency, you can't hear. And so, yeah, we're going to do that. So just a couple more things we want to, I guess we already did this. Yep, we already did that. Hearing God is best in community. So absolutely, every one of us can hear individually from God by His Holy Spirit. No question. Don't doubt that for a second. God wants to speak to you. But at the same time, there is safety in hearing from God in community with brothers and sisters. And so a couple scriptures we want to, up here. A couple scriptures we want to quickly look at. And this is where we touch a little bit on prophetic gifts, and we want to not get sucked in. But 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29. And Paul is specifically here giving instruction on the gift of prophecy in public, in a meeting like this. Excuse me. And he says, two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. Two or three should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. Why do you think that is? Why does Paul give very specific instructions here that in a group like this, if two or three people give a word of prophecy, that there is a command and an instruction that we have to weigh what is said? Yeah. Because we should be in one accord and unity. Okay, good, sure. Safeguard against deception, right? Because there are lots of voices coming at us, one of them being the Holy Spirit, and it is possible to be deceived, okay? Confirmation, yeah, good. Okay, sure. Did you say something, Harvey? No? Okay. Anyone else? Yeah. It's protection, right? And so, we're not getting into the gift of prophecy. It's too tempting, but we're not going there. So, hearing from God in community, in relationship with other people is always safer, right? And it also, it has that confirmation element that if other people around you say, yeah, I think that you know, that bears witness with our spirit, that feels good, seems right to us and the Holy Spirit, right? As it says in Acts chapter 15. And so you've got this protection that's there. The setting would be like a place of corporate prayer, a corporate listening. Sure. Yeah. Good. And then the other verse is 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 20. Verse 19, might as well include it too, because it's pretty good. Do not quench the Spirit. So don't put out the fire of the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. So, here's where... Okay. I'm going to say something about prophecy, but I'm not getting sucked in. Here's where Old Testament prophecy and New Testament prophecy is a little different. Is that in the Old Testament, if someone made a mistake in prophesying because of the way that God did prophecy in the Old Testament, they said, stone them. Right? Get out the rocks, kill them. That's pretty serious. In the New Testament, it's a season, it's an era of grace, and so we put the rocks down, and we say that in in our learning how to hear from God, we will all make mistakes. And that's why we do this together. That's why we do it together, is so that we can all learn, make mistakes and fail forward, right? Make mistakes and learn and fine-tune our listeners so that we hear God well, right? And so to not despise prophecies, but test them all. Take what is good and throw out what is bad, right? That doesn't mean accept the good people who always get it right and throw out the bad people that make a mistake. It's all of us are going to have a little bit of maybe some flesh thrown in there or whatever. And so we weigh it together. We test it together and we sort out, okay, what is God really saying to us? Does that make sense? Good. Good, because now we're going to do it. Now we're going to do it. Yes, onward and upwards. And all the rocks are left on the floor. No stoning tonight. Yes, sir. What were they doing? It says they were praying and fasting. Yeah. So you're saying we haven't talked about fasting here tonight. Yeah, you're right. It's a good point, Ford. We talked about worship being something that opens our spirit to hear from the Lord. So does prayer, but so does fasting. Fasting is a important discipline in our spiritual journey to help us hear more clearly what God is saying to us. That's one of the reasons why we fast. Why even bother fasting? So I can hear more clearly what the Lord is saying, right? Good point. Thank you, Ford. It's good. All right, so in the next few minutes, we are going to... Again, put on some quiet music. Just create an atmosphere, and maybe one of the reasons we put on some quiet music is just to not be distracted by the person in front of you or behind you or beside you or whatever. Just a little bit of, it's a little bit of white noise, but it's also some worship music to just create an atmosphere to hear better as we listen to the Lord. And what I'd like you to do, if you have a journal, great. If you don't, grab a piece of paper or use a communication card in front of you or do something, steal a piece of paper from your neighbor, I don't know. But as you're listening, jot down anything that you think you're hearing. A picture that comes to mind, maybe you want to draw it. Maybe it's maybe you're an artistic person and you want to actually draw a little. Well, if it was me, it would be little stick people, but you might be better at that than I am. You might want to draw it. I think the Holy Spirit sometimes speaks to us that way. You might want to write a phrase, one word, a whole paragraph. You might want to describe a picture that God puts in your mind. Whatever it is, in the next few minutes, we're just going to listen. We're going to say, Holy Spirit, we want you to speak. When we're done that, again, we're going to get into small groups and share together if we heard anything. And I want to just make it really clear. It's okay if you get in your group and you say, I didn't get anything. That is totally okay. This is not about comparing with one another, trying to one-up each other and hearing a bigger word from God or whatever. This is about all of us taking one step closer and learning to hear God more clearly. Okay? That's what this is about. So I want to encourage you to just listen, write down what you get, and it may seem silly. It may seem, can I give you one little example that I heard once that is kind of a friend of mine went to a conference one time where there was a lot of just prophetic words being given. And somebody got up and said, I can't help it. I have a picture. God's given me a picture of a Cheshire cat, like from Alice in Wonderland, right? Just a big smiling floating face of a cat. Everybody seen Alice in Wonderland, right? I have a picture of a Cheshire cat, and I can't get it out of my mind. I don't know why. I just feel stupid saying it, but there it is. And so the meeting moved on, and you know, for about half an hour, other things happened, and then somebody got up to the mic and they said, "Okay, I have to go back to the Cheshire cat thing because I'm from Cheshire, England." Oh, and the picture was of a Cheshire cat with a big grin on its face and a big clump of food in its teeth. And they said, "I don't know, it's weird, but that's what I'm seeing." And so this person got up and said, "I'm from Cheshire, England, and God spoke to me through that. And he said that the church in Cheshire has this big grin on its face, thinking everybody, they're fooling everybody, and like the whole world thinks they're wonderful, and everybody can see their faults, and everyone can see how desperately they need to surrender and submit to God." And so how powerful, right? And yet such a silly, ridiculous picture. And so sometimes we might get a picture in our mind and say, "Oh, that's foolish, that's silly, that can't be God." Write it down. Because God sometimes speaks through the silliest things. Okay? So for the next 10, 5, 8, I don't know. When I feel like we're done, we'll be done. We're gonna sit and listen, and then we're gonna